Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
We ready? Hebrews chapter 6, stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. We'll look at verse number 10, and this is familiar to you. The Bible says, "For God is not unrighteous." Aren't you thankful for that? You say, "Preacher, reckon why the writer put 'for God is not unrighteous' in there?" Because there's some times in our life we might feel like He is. Amen. Right. "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we love You this morning. God, we thank You for the privilege to stand and preach again. Lord, I thank You for the opportunity to stand and preach in this place. God, thank You for these folks, this church. And God, I thank You, Lord, for Brother Jonathan. Lord, I pray You continue to work in, Dr. Barker's family and his life as he's there in the hospital recovering. Lord, I pray this morning that You'd touch now as we open the Word of God for a few moments. Lord, I pray that You would touch in that individual that may be here. They've never been saved. They don't know You. They've never accepted You as their Savior. God, would You deal with their heart distinctly and specifically? Lord, for that Christian that may be discouraged, would You lift their spirit today? And God, for what's accomplished, we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You so much for standing. You may be seated. Now, here in this passage of Scripture, we find an encouraging verse, if you will, for the children of God. And if I was to give you the purpose that you should have in your life, it would probably be from this passage of Scripture where the Bible says, "Your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward His name." That should be our purpose as a Christian, that everything we do would be for the audience of one. And so if the Lord would help me for just a few moments, and I'll be done quick, I want to preach on that, the audience of one. The audience of one. We understand that life comes with many questions. Would you agree with that this morning? Those questions sometimes sound like this: why am I here? Why am I here? What is my purpose in life? Why am I even, why have I even been put on this planet? Why do I exist? What is my aim? What is my assignment? What is the agenda of my life? And may I just say to you that without God, these questions, they have no anchor, they have no answer, and they have no assurance. But I'm here to report to you that if you're saved by the grace of God, that your purpose in life, it has design, it is distinct. There's a destiny for you. And may I just say to you, if you don't know the Lord, all of those questions are so hard to answer, because truly without Christ, we are nothing. We can do nothing, and our life is pointless. The Bible teaches us in Romans 8 and verse 28 that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. And this morning, your purpose as a child of God is simply this, that you would work and labor in love for His name's sake, for the name's sake of the Lord Jesus. We have an audience of one this morning. And can I say, it's not the one sitting next to you. We don't get up and sing and preach and testify and do all these things because of those that are around us, but we do it for the audience of one. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Without God, you're spiritually blind. Your soul is barren. You're sinful in your bondage. You're dead in your trespasses and sin. But when you're saved, when you're in Christ, there's a purpose in His plan. There's power in His presence. There's peace in the process that He would use to develop you and to make you and to mold you. He can take somebody that's aimless and He can give them intentionality. It's all through Him. It's all through Christ today. Very important that we understand that truth. Here in Hebrews chapter number 6, you'll see down through these verses, and we won't go into all of this. There's a lot in the book of Hebrews, especially in this chapter, but I'll be honest, I don't understand everything in the book of Hebrews. When I read through it and I study it, there's a lot of stuff that I just simply don't understand. But we see here in this passage of Scripture, in verses 1 through 8, there's the exhortation to progress. There is the growing, there's the going, there's the grounding, and then we see in verses 9 through 12 the encouragements for performance, if you will. There's an encouragement to do something, to perform. Now, we don't perform as one would in the world, to bring attention to oneself in their talent, but we perform for what? The audience of one, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to perform well for Jesus, amen? And you should want that too. And then in verses 13 through 15, we see there is the example of persistence. And then the chapter finishes out with the ensuring promise of the anchoring and the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus. And so I just want to give you a couple simple things this morning about the audience of one, about the one that you and I are doing everything we're doing for, about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and the one that is looking down this morning and he's not worried about how well your voice sounds when you sing. He's not worried about how well I perform when I preach, but what he's worried about is the intention of my heart as I try to do something for the Lord, and that I do that for the audience of one, and that is the God of heaven. Amen. May I just say to you about this audience of one, that he is a remembering God. The Bible says, for God is not unrighteous to forget. He is a remembering God. Aren't you thankful that he remembers? Amen. There's a whole bunch of stuff that I don't remember. There's a whole bunch of stuff that I say is important to me, and I don't ever remember them. But I'm glad the God that I'm preaching to you about this morning is a God that remembers. I would say this to you, that he remembers you when trials overwhelm. I'm glad he remembers me when the trials of this life are overwhelming. I'm glad that he remembers. Job cried in chapter 14. He said, oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, and that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. You want to know what Job was saying? I'm in a bad place. I don't understand why I'm here. And if there was anything I could ask, it would be, God, would you just remember me? I think about Israel's complaint in Isaiah 49. The Bible said, sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, but the Lord said, yeah, will I not forget thee? Then we see the comfort of the Lord. He don't stop there. He don't just say, hey, listen, I understand you feel forgotten. I understand you feel like nobody remembers. But he goes on to say, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. Thy walls are continually before me. You want to know what he was telling the nation of Israel? You feel like you've been forgotten. You feel like you've been forsaken. But I'm here to tell you this morning that I've engraved you on my hand. Can I take it just a step further and say, you may feel like you're engraved on his hand, and that's good. But that was the nation of Israel. But if you're saved this morning, you are in Christ. You're not just engraved in his hand, but you're all wrapped up in his hand. You may feel forgotten, but God ain't going to forget one that's all wrapped up in him, and you're all wrapped up in Jesus. Amen. Hey, he's a remembering God. When others forget you, God has not. When you feel forsaken, God is faithful. When you are weak, the Lord is the one that'll make you strong. When you're fearful, the Lord can speak peace. When you're broken, God can put all the pieces back together again. When you're weary, God can give you rest. When you're lonely, he's a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. When you're burdened, it's the Lord that is the lifter up of our head. When you feel lost. I'm glad the good shepherd will come by your way and he'll give you direction in your life. When you feel wounded from the battle, the Lord will mend the brokenness. When you feel cast down, I'm glad he's the God that will raise you up again. When you feel like the tears and the sorrows, and you've had many of those, seem to just keep coming, I'm glad the Lord knows where you're at. When you fall on your face, I'm glad he's the one that'll restore you. When you find yourself stumbling around, I'm glad the Almighty's the one that can steady you. Can I just say to you that the God of heaven remembers you. He knows where you're at, and he's able to meet your need today. Oh, yes, friend. Can I say, when you're mourning, I'm glad he's the God that can comfort you. Can I say, when you go astray, aren't you glad he's the one that'll pursue you? Amen. I'm glad there's been some times that I've walked away from him. There's been some times I've not been the best Christian. Amen. But I'm glad there's somewhere in the shadows. There was one pursuing me, and it was the good shepherd, not because I was good, not because I had something to offer, but because he loved me. Because he loved me. Boy, I'm glad when I go astray, he'll pursue me. When you have questions about tomorrow, God has every answer you'll ever need. When you're hungry, I'm glad the Lord can fill the emptiness. When you're thirsty, he's the one that can satisfy. When you're fearful in the storm, I'm glad he's the one that can speak peace. When you find yourself in darkness, God will give you light. When the darts of the wicked come against you, I'm glad he's your shield in the midnight hour. When you're surrounded, I'm glad God is encamped around about us. Can I just say that when you're pressed beyond measure, the Lord is our high tower. When Satan would sift you as wheat, I'm glad the Lord proves himself to be sufficient every single time. I don't know what tomorrow holds, and you don't either. And we never know when we get up what kind of day we're going to have. We don't know what happens in the future. We can't see it. We don't understand it. Nobody would have thought a week ago that you've been going through what you're going through in your family. But I'm glad that he's the one that can see down the road, and he has the answer for every need, for every problem, and every situation that we'll ever go through. When you feel overwhelmed, I'm glad he is our anchor. When you feel empty, it's the Lord that'll fill you to overflowing. When you're accused, aren't you glad he's the advocate with the Father? When you feel unseen, aren't you glad that God sees right where you are? When you feel unheard, guess who's bending their ear in your direction? It is the God of heaven that remembers you. May I just say, I'm glad to be doing what I'm doing for the audience of one this morning. It's him that matters. And all those things I told you about him, it'd be hard-pressed to find anybody come close to that. How many would be hard-pressed to find anybody that could ever be all of that for you? Why in the world wouldn't we just do what we do for Jesus today? The audience, the one that's his comfort, behold, I've graven that. He said, listen here, Israel, I know you have messed up. You've made some mistakes. But I ain't forgot you. There's some of you sitting here this morning. There's no doubt in my mind that you've messed up and made mistakes, and it got you feeling like you've been forgotten by God. Nope. If you're saved, can I say more than you think about him? He's thinking about you. You say, oh, preacher, you don't understand what I've done. You don't understand how wicked I am. I don't have to. I to give you the assurance from this Bible that the God of heaven is thinking about you far more than you're thinking about him, because he's a God that remembers his own. I believe I'll just do what I do for the audience of one this morning. He's a God that remembers. I'd say this to you. Not only is he a God that remembers you in your trial, he's a God that remembers when your tears overflow. Not only when the trials are overwhelming, but he remembers when your tears overflow. The Bible said in Psalms 56 and verse number 8, Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? I can't explain that theologically to you. I don't know what all that means. But somehow down in here, it makes me believe
that when the tears flow like rivers, that somewhere beyond the blue, there's a God in heaven that is remembering what I'm going through. Somewhere in the portals of glory, the God of heaven is interested in my tears. He's interested in yours. You ever wonder what that book might be like? You ever wonder what that book might be like that he's recording those tears in? He's a God that remembers when the tears overflow. You know, there's been some bad stuff happen in my life. You say, tell me about it. I can't remember it all. I mean, I just kind of know that there's been some bad stuff happen. But I forgot about most of it. There have been some times I remember me and my wife hadn't been married too long. And we were sitting in our little house. We bought together in Hendersonville, North Carolina. And we were living a very interesting life. She was night shift. I was night shift. We slept all day. We ate supper at 2:00 in the morning. It was awesome. And we did that for a pretty good long while. But we were sitting there on the couch. It was late at night. And the phone rang. And I remember she looked at me. And she said, Pop is dead. And I was like, what? It was just like you sucked the life out of both of us, because he was close. They were close. And I remember the tears that was cried. And I remember the hurt and the pain that you feel when you go through something like that. But if we're honest this morning, time heals those things. She'll never forget her Pop. I'll never forget Pop. But the reality is there's been some similar situations that were not as extreme that really broke me down. And I shed some tears over it. I hurt over it. But I don't really remember it. Time has healed it. I've moved on and I don't. But can I say to you, there's one that ain't forgotten it. You want to talk about a friend that's closer than a brother. I mean a God that could remember every tear I've cried. And he bottles them and he writes them in his book. I love some of y'all, some of our best friends down here. But I'll be honest with you, I don't journal much about you. I don't. When I write in my journal, Brother Jonathan's about the only one that makes it in there. Don't tell nobody. But it's good to have a good friend, amen? It is. There's times I get up in the morning and I ain't doing so good, spiritually or any other way. And I'll get a message, it'll pop up on my phone. And I'm like, I better get my act together. There's people out there watching me. Anybody else have that struggle? There's a God that remembers every single tear. He's a God that remembers when the trials, they overwhelm us. He's a God that remembers when the tears overflow. But he's a God that remembers when our treasures are offered. The Bible says here in our text, he said, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have showed towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Hey, he's a God that remembers when you take what he's given you as talents, as finances, as things, and invest it back into the work of God.
Yes, sir.
He don't forget about that. Can I say there's a bunch of good, hard-working Christians in this church? And if I was to pick out the hardest working, I don't know who that'd be. But if I was to pick out... excuse me, the hardest working Christian in this church, you don't even remember what all you've done. Amen? These meals you've cooked, these people you went and seen, these hands you've shaked, you've shaken, is that right, shaken? Shaked. That's what you get down at McDonald's. There's things you've done that meant something in the life of Christians and lost folk and people. And we just forget about it. We do, and that's okay. I'm not being critical of that. We just do. We're human. We forget about it. And sometimes if you're not careful, you'll be going through your daily life and you'll think to yourself, am I really even doing anything for God? Am I really, really... am I really doing any? I mean, I feel like, I mean, I know I play the piano. But really, am I doing anything for God? See, we forget so quickly the things we're involved in. And I'm not being critical, it's just how we are. But what I'm trying to stress to you is the point that everything you've done for Him, every work and labor of love, every phone call, every prayer you've offered, every time you've encouraged that one that was down, every time you've sung a song, every time you preached or taught a Sunday school lesson, God keeps a good record. And He don't forget about it. He'll forget about it. If I was to ask you, song leader, this morning, how many songs have you led in the choir? You don't know. You might tell me how many you led this morning. I think it was two. How many of you led since you've been leading singing? He don't know. God does. God knows. He's recorded every single event that you have taken the time to invest back in to the work of God. Can I say He sees your faithful sowing, He sees your fervent serving, and He sees your fruitful stewardship this morning. God doesn't miss your faithfulness in the field. He doesn't miss your fervor in the fight. And He doesn't miss the finances that you invest to further the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Got two more things and I'll be done. I got 8 minutes. We're going to move fast. He's a God that remembers. But then He's a God that recognizes. You say, well, preacher, ain't that the same thing? Ain't that the same thing? God that remembers and a God that recognizes. Well, kind of, but not really. That word recognize means to review and recognize. And I've got a few people that work for me at the Rims Creek Nursery. You say, you like working there? Nope. But it pays the bills. And I got a few folks that work for me. Some of them are real good, and some of them are not. Some of them do what they're supposed to do, and some of them don't. But there's a process, and all of you that have been involved in the workforce are probably somewhat familiar with this. And it's called the review process. And that's where you come in, you get you a job somewhere, and then you work for a little while, and then they bring you in to tell you everything you're doing good or bad. It's called the review process. And I've hired some folk, and I've tried to develop that program. We're a small family-owned business, so it's not very fancy how we do things, but I've tried to develop some of that. So I'll bring folks in and hire them, especially seasonal help, and we get a few weeks or months into their employment, and I'll bring them back in to review their work. Now, before we get to that, I've got to pay attention because I've got to have something to talk to them about when they come in there, or it's not meaningful. It don't mean anything if I just come in and pat them on the back and say, you're doing a good job. But when I can bring that employee in and say, on this date and this time, you did this, and I want to say good job. That's the difference in just remembering and recognizing. And can I just say to you this morning that He's not just a God that remembers, but He's a God that recognizes. He doesn't just say, yeah, I remember all that stuff you've done. But He's a God that recognizes and reviews what you've done. You say, preacher, I just want to thank the Lord for the peace that passeth understanding. Yeah, He's recognizing you. You say, preacher, I just want to thank God for His Spirit that come by and touch. Yeah, He's recognizing you. You say, preacher, I just want to thank God that in this trial, the grace of God was something that I could not explain. Yeah, He's just recognizing you. Can I say He's not just a God that remembers, but He's a God that'll pull you up close and say, this right here, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for doing something for me and encourage your heart.
Yes, sir.
There's a difference in remembering and recognizing. But then I say this, I'm going to move on. He recognizes you when you minister to the saints. He recognizes you when your motivation and service is correct. But then He's a God that rewards, and I'm done with this. He's a God that not only remembers, but recognizes. He's also a God that rewards. Just simple. Not anything fancy, but it's true. He's a God that rewards you when you work for the right reasons. When you pray, when you give, when you fast. Don't do it for all these other people. It's audience of one. God. That's why He taught in His Word. All those things, do it in private. He wasn't talking about hiding somewhere and doing it. He's saying, don't do it for the publicity of it. Whatever you're doing for Christ, It's not so those around you can pat you on the back. Now listen, we like a pat on the back. I'm thankful for every pat on the back that I've never got a pat on the back and say, well, I just wish that they wouldn't do that. You're the same way. Ain't nothing wrong with that. That's how we are. And if you see somebody doing a good job, you ought to pat them on the back for it. Ain't nothing wrong with that. That ain't why we do what we do. There's an audience of one that we're striving to please. Yes, sir. And he's a God that rewards when you work for the right reason. But he's a God that rewards when your will resides with his. You don't have to be the most gifted this morning. You just need to be the most genuine.
Yes, sir.
Gifts ain't nothing. I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful for everybody that's got a gift and a talent. But you don't have to be the most gifted. You just need to be the most genuine. Be who God made you to be. If you spin your wheels in life trying to be somebody you're not, you will never get nowhere. There's only one of you. We could pull your DNA this morning, and there's only going to be one of them. There ain't going to be no more. You're the only one. You ever thought about that? You are the only one. Never be another one. You say, preacher, why am I here? Well, you've got a purpose if you're saved. But it's not about your talents or your gifts that you see. It's about how you can be the most genuine person that God has created you special in life to be. That's what it's about. You don't need to be Jonathan Barker. You don't need to be Alan Barker. You don't need to be Hugh Shore. You don't need to be David Williams. You need to be you. You don't need to be Miss Amanda. You don't need to be Miss Leslie. You need to be you. The most genuine person you can be, just like God made you. What he's looking for. Hey, you don't have to be the most visible. I don't know if this is a word or not. You just have to be the most vesseled.
Yes, sir.
What God has created out of you as a Christian in your life. Aren't you thankful for a God that is that personal and that close? Someone's coming to the piano this morning. I'm done. The audience of one, it's just about Jesus. God sees what you're doing. He sees what you're doing. You say, preacher, I don't feel like I'm having or making an impact. Quit worrying about your feelings. Quit trying so hard and just trust God. Just trust God. We're not careful, we'll get caught up trying to force things in our life because we want to see results so much and so bad. And I'm not being critical of that at all. I do it. Sometimes we just got to quit trying and just start trusting. Let God take the most genuine person we can be and accomplish exactly what he wants for our lives personally. Me and you. It's all we can be. It's who God made.